Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording, and today we're talking about the intention. The intentions. Okay, what do we mean by the intentions? If you're a person, like a normal person, and then somebody asks you about intentions, what comes into your mind when I tell you intentions?
Your motives.
Your motives, very good. Your motives. Okay. Now, the sunnah or the hadith of the Prophet, the hadith of the Prophet are called sunnah. Okay? They were they written when the Prophet was alive? Sunnah, the teachings of the Prophet, the sayings of the Prophet.
No,
he didn't. Why? Can you think of a reason?
He was alive to say what he was.
Yes, but why didn't they just record or write what he says? Huh? Because he was worried about confusing it with Quran. What? So he was worried about that people are going to confuse this with Quran. So the hadith, would they think that the hadith is part of the Quran? Got it? So in order for Allah, for the Prophet to make sure, Allah ordered him to not to write the sunnah. So who wrote the sunnah? After people who came after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Prophet died. One of them is Imam Bukhari. Did you hear about Imam Bukhari? Imam Bukhari, he was one of the people who collected the hadith. You know what the collection means? Like, you heard the hadith from the Prophet. You're a companion. You heard the hadith. Then he goes to you and says, what's the hadith that you heard? Then he says, he reads the hadith. Then he writes the hadith. Actually, he had a photographic memory. So he memorizes the hadith. Okay? And he keeps doing that. And he travels to see the ones who narrated the hadith. Or you can call them witnesses, or witnesses who testify that they have seen this hadith. Okay? So I'll tell you about his criteria was very strict. But before we get there, if a hadith has Arabic grammar mistake, then obviously this hadith is made up. This hadith is made up. Okay? If the hadith has a weird meaning, then it is rejected. If the hadith is narrated by a person who's not honest, by a dishonest person, then the hadith is rejected. Good. So now, the Imam Bukhari has a very tough criteria. You know criteria? To put the hadith, to make sure the hadith is correct. Like a person says a hadith on the tongue of the Prophet. Okay? That, for example, the hadith that we'll be doing today is called the intentions hadith. The hadith of intentions. So, how would Imam Bukhari ensure that this hadith is truly said by the Prophet? Huh? He will? Huh?
Compare it to the Quran. So if it seems like it's something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, describing Allah as the most powerful, then he'd say, yeah, this must be a hadith. But if it's something contradicting Allah's names, then it can't be a hadith.
How about the hadith that does not contradict Allah's name? For example, girls have to cover heads and, everything except hands and feet. I'm sorry, except hands and face. This is a hadith from the Prophet. How do you know it's true or not?
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran that a girl must cover herself. So the Prophet just elaborates that and tells how much must be covered.
Yes, the Prophet he explains that because Allah does it briefly and the Prophet explains that. But how do I know other hadith Just for example, the hadith that he says, if you read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ three times, you have read the whole Qur'an. Okay? Like, almost the whole Qur'an. This hadith is coming. How do I know this hadith is true? Basically, by interviewing the witnesses. By interviewing what? The witnesses. So, if I hear a hadith, then I go to you. You have heard the Prophet saying it. Then I ask you, what's the hadith narration? What did you hear the Prophet saying? Then he writes it down. And then he says, who else heard it? They say, X person. So he travels to meet X person and interviews that person and like record. This is called chain of narration. Called what? Chain of narration. So there is a chain from Imam Bukhari to the Prophet. Within these chain, there are witnesses. Okay. One of the criteria that Imam Bukhari used to classify hadith to be good, to be strong or weak, we have strong or weak hadith, or we have liar hadith, which is lying. Lying. Okay? So, for example, hadith, an-nadhafa min al-iman, cleanness is part of faith. Is this a hadith? No, it's not. So if you hear someone saying that, then Imam Bukhari went and checked on this hadith, and nobody, you know, the witnesses say, no, we didn't hear that. So then it becomes a bad hadith. It becomes a bad hadith that should be rejected. Anyway, one of the criteria, let me tell you a story about one of his criteria of classifying hadith. He once heard that a witness has a hadith. So he traveled to that witness. And in the Arabian traditions, if I get a guest, you host the guest for 3 days, and then on the fourth day you ask him, why are you here? But in the Arabian traditions, it's a shame to ask the guest, why are you here from day one? You have to leave the guest for how many days? 3. So Imam Bukhari came as a guest. The guy didn't know that this is Imam Bukhari. So he left him for 3 days. During these 3 days, Imam Bukhari was studying the person. He studied, where does he pray? What does he say? How does he deal with his animals? How does he deal with humans? How is his memory? He gives him memory tests. Okay? He studies everything about this witness. And then, during the 3 days, the witness had a camel that ran away. A camel that what? Yeah. Ran away. So he wanted to capture the camel. In the Arabian traditions, or like practice, how do they feed the camel? They have galabiyya. They have a dress. So they lift the dress and put the food, like the food inside the dress. And then they say, rrr, rrr. So the animal will know that there's food, so the animal comes to eat. You know that? Okay. So what happened is that the camel ran away. So when the camel ran away, okay? No phones, please. When the camel ran away, he wanted to cheat the camel. He wanted to cheat the camel. So he did with his dress like this. Rrr, rrr. Did he have food? No, he didn't have any food. But he was cheating what? The camel. So as soon as Imam Bukhari saw that, he backed up stuff and he started leaving. So the guy said, hold on, you were leaving without telling me who you are and why did you come? So he said, I am Bukhari, Imam Bukhari, and I came because I heard that you are one of the witnesses who heard this hadith from the Prophet. But I found that you cheated on the camel. So if you cheat in the camel, then I'm not going to accept the hadith from you. See how tough the criteria is? He's known to be very, very, very tough. So he narrated in his book 4,000 hadith. 4,000 hadith, okay? if you consider, there are two different narrations or three different narrations for a hadith. So 4,000 unique hadith, okay? Different, with different narrations, they are 8,000. But 8,000, the 4,000 of them are just like alter, like then a different narration for the same hadith. The first hadith of the hadith of the intentions. The hadith of? Hadith of what? Intentions. That is his first hadith. What is that? What does the hadith say? The hadith says, deeds are evaluated based on the intention. And people will get what they intended to get. And people get what they intended to get. So if somebody immigrates for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then he will get what he intended, which is the love of Allah and His Messenger, or the reward of Allah and His Messenger. But if one immigrated for a business, to make a business, or to marry a woman, then his reward will be whatever he intended. If it's business, then his reward is the business. If he's to marry a woman, then his reward is
a woman.
Or a woman. And it doesn't mean that he would get her for sure. He might get her or not get her. But you understand that? There was a beautiful lady. Her name was Umma Qais. She immigrated to Medina. And then a guy who loves her immigrated also to marry her. So this is when the Prophet said this hadith. So this guy is called the immigrant of Umma Qais. The immigrant of who? Umma Qais. The immigrant of Umma Qais. And his reward was what he intended, which is? So to get Jannah, you have to intend to get Jannah. And you have to work hard to get Jannah. Jannah is not cheap. To get Jannah, you need to want the Jannah. So when you do something, you're doing it because you want Jannah. If you want Jannah, then your reward will be Jannah. If you want show off, then your reward will be show off. Whatever you intended, you get whatever you intended. Okay? All right. So now let's learn a lot more about this hadith. Why this hadith is picked to be number one hadith in the book of Bukhari? By the way, the most correct book after the Quran is the book of Bukhari. So what is the second most correct book?
The book of Bukhari.
The book of Bukhari. Got it? And it's, why is it second? Why is it, wasn't it first? Huh? Why is it the second correct book, not the first correct book?
Because the first correct book is the Quran.
Exactly. Because the first correct book is what? Quran. So that is the second. This is second to Quran. So whatever hadiths are there, okay, they are very rigorously checked by Imam Bukhari, by interviewing the witnesses. They're very rigorously checked, and he had a very tough criteria. Had a very, very tough criteria. So why did he choose this hadith intention to be the first hadith in his book? Why? Because, listen to this, very important. One is this hadith that we just said, is one third of Quran. Is how much?
One
third of Islam, which is one third of what? Islam. That the other two thirds are not good without. Are not any good without. You got it? So this is one third of Islam. Just one hadith is one third of Islam. And the other two thirds are dependent on this hadith, which is the hadith of the intentions, the hadith of the intentions. Because why? Because Allah doesn't judge by the actions. Allah judges by intentions. You need to understand very well that Allah does not judge by actions at all. Whatever you do, Allah doesn't judge you for what you do. Allah judges you for what you intended to do. For what you intended to do. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a camel. You have a what? Camel. And this camel is yours. But you wanted to steal. You thought it's not yours. And you stole this camel. And you what? Stole this camel. Then would you be treated by Allah as a thief?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Even it's your camel.
Because you wanted to
steal it, exactly. You didn't know it's your camel, but you wanted to steal it. And then when you stole it, you find that it's your camel. So now, here we go. So now you get the punishment. His brother killed him. But because, even though his brother killed him, but because he intended to kill his brother, then he's judged by no phones. So he's judged by intentions. It's not fair. You know, it's just like 40 minutes class time every week. You know, we don't want to, you have all this time for the phone. Just focus here. Okay? This is one third of Islam that you're learning. One third of Islam. This hadith is one third of Islam. And it is... The other two-thirds of Islam depend on this hadith. If you don't meet the intentions, it doesn't matter what you do. Got it? And then you might say, why people who don't believe in Allah don't go to Jannah? Easy. Did they want Jannah? They don't believe in Allah. So when they did a good deed, did they want Jannah? Did they? So why Allah gives you Jannah if you don't want Jannah? You got it? If you're bragging or if you do make a donation and a fundraising to show off so that everybody say, oh, the donor, look, the donor, this guy, generous. So your intention is to hear that from the people that's to praise you and say you are?
Generous.
Okay. Now, why you're not getting Jannah for that? Because you did not intend to have Jannah. You intended to have people praising you. So saying, Safa, Maham, you guys are good, generous, because you donated in this fundraising. Okay, so two people will make a donation in the same fundraising by the same amount. So you paid $1,000 to the same fundraising. Maham did $1,000 in the same fundraising. Allah might accept from one of you, and one of you will be punished, and one of you will be rewarded. Which one that would be rewarded for the donation?
The one who wanted to do it generously from their heart, and the other one...
The one who intended to do it for Jannah. Okay? How about the other one? He intended to do it for?
Praise.
Other than Jannah, praise or something. So that person basically says, okay, if this person is running for election, then this person will make a donation saying, okay, everybody, all right, look at me. He's running for election. Look at me, everybody, look at me. I am Mr. Trump, and I'm running for the elections, okay? Where is the news? I'm going to make a donation. Where is the news? Oh, the news. Okay. I am donating $20, this money. So I'm saying, okay, I'm donating this money for you. You're poor. I'm donating this money for you. You can have it. How about you, Maham? You can have it?
Wait.
Yeah, I donated it for you.
Oh,
you don't want it? Okay, so you, wait a minute, 6 o'clock news, you ready? I'm going to give a donation. Watch. Here we go. Oh, 6 o'clock news. All right, everybody, hey, I am so generous. I love to donate. Here we go. You think I'd give you $20?
No.
You understand? You get the point? You get the point or not? Do you get the point? Yes or no? So, does Allah judge by actions?
No.
Allah judges by?
Intentions.
What happens in the land of reality is nothing that Allah goes by. It's nothing to Allah. Allah goes, but what's in the what?
Hearts.
Okay. Now, one of the criteria to make sure that hadith is true, not false, okay? Hadith is true, is if it's narrated by 40 people that don't know each other. Okay? So, if I say, okay, what happened when the Prophet ﷺ was making wudu? Then you say an answer. You give me an answer. You say, okay. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then I ask Maham. She's another witness. Ask her the same question. And she says, Bismillah. How about you? If 40 people agree that the hadith has been heard by the Prophet, have been said by a prophet, could this hadith be false? 40 people who don't know each other are giving you the same answer. I'll tell you a joke about that. Okay, there was a professor teaching a class, and he had 4 students in his class. In the night of the exam, they said, we are going to have fun. So they drove the car to Las Vegas. And they had fun, but they got drunk, they overslept, they lost the exam time, so they did not attend the exam. All right?
That's sad.
Huh?
That's sad for
that. Okay. So now they went back to the professor, and they told him, oh, please forgive us. We got a flat tire. We got a flat tire. And we couldn't make it on time because we had a flat
tire.
So the professor said, fine, just come tomorrow, I'll test you. So they came the next day. So the professor put every one of them in his different rooms. So 4 of them in different rooms. And then he said, the first question in the exam, yes? Yes. The first question in the exam was what? What do you think?
Which
tire? Exactly. Which tire is it? Which tire is it? You got it? So, yes. So, if it's true, everybody will give the same answer. But if it's false, is it possible that 4 of you girls will agree, or 4 students will agree on the same wrong? No. Very, very, what are the odds? Almost like none. But, exact. So 95% of the grade is which tire? And then 5% is the rest of the exam. You understand? That's a joke. So that tells you, if hadith is narrated by 40 witnesses who don't know each other, then is it true or false? It has to be true. Can't be false. Okay? This is called hadith mutawatir. Okay. Now, do you know the angels who are on the right and left? Do they record the deeds or the intentions? The angels on the right and left. They record the what?
Deeds.
They record the action. Yes?
Well, for the right and also for the right and the also record the deeds.
Huh?
As well as the deeds.
Exactly. The one writes the good deeds, and the one on the right, and the one on the left writes the what?
The deeds.
So bad deeds or bad words are written. Good deeds and good words are written. However, who translates these deeds into hasanat or sayyat? Allah. Why? The angels don't know your intention. Do you know that your intention is a secret between you and Allah? Only Allah knows your intention. Only Allah knows your true intention. Only Allah knows exactly how much is your intention. So, the angels, why don't the angels write intentions? Huh? Why don't they write, okay, here, she intended $5, $500 donation for the sake of Allah.
They don't know.
They don't know for the sake of Allah or not. You got it? So, it's a top secret. No one knows your intention, not even the angels. Now, look at this. There is a hadith that 4 people the hadith that says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the first four people that go to hellfire are a martyr, a donor, a teacher of Quran, and what's a teacher of Quran, and a scholar, and okay, teacher of Quran, teacher of Islam, martyr, and generous donor. Those are the ones who go, the first four that goes to where? Hellfire. Do you believe it? The first four who go to hellfire are these four categories. Martyr, a donor, of a teacher, and teacher of Quran, teacher of Islam, martyr, and donor. The question is, how come those, the hadith says, how come those go to hellfire? The Prophet says, the donor will come to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I've donated so much money for your sake. Allah says, liar. You donated because you wanted people to say you're generous. That was you intended, what you intended, and you got it. I owe you nothing. Go to hell. The second one, it says, Ya Allah, I was killed for your sake. The Allah says, liar. You killed, so people say he's brave. He is brave. You're going to hell. Take him to hell. I owe you nothing. Another teacher says, Ya Allah, I spent long time teaching Quran. Allah says, for your sake. Allah says, liar. You taught so that your reputation. So people will say, oh, your reputation. You're the teacher of Quran. You taught because of your reputation. You taught because of your reputation. Go to hellfire. I owe you nothing. You got it? You understand? Okay? So it means that their deeds are, they are being punished for doing good deeds because they had the wrong intentions. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are four categories of people. There are how many categories?
Four.
Categories of people. A rich guy and righteous. Good, righteous person. Rich and?
Righteous.
And righteous. And he's spending his money for the sake of Allah. Spending his money for the sake of Allah. And another second person is a poor but righteous. A poor but righteous. Okay? So, can he spend his money for the sake of Allah? No. Why? He has no money, right? Then, but he desires that, he says that to himself, or his intentions were, if I have money, I would donate it, just like my rich brother. If I have money, I would donate it just like who? My rich friend or my rich brother. The Prophet ﷺ said like this, look at my fingers. He said, they are equally rewarded. The rich and the poor. The righteous rich and the righteous poor. They are equally rewarded. Why? Because the poor had the intention. If he has money, then he would do it. Donate. This is why they say the intention of the believer is always better than his actual deeds. Because your intentions are usually good intentions. Your deeds cannot catch up with your intentions. Okay? Then the Prophet said, the third person was a bad person, but rich. A rich, bad person. So he's using his money to disobey Allah. Like what? Throwing nasty parties, inviting people to drink wine, and have girls, and dancers, and all of this bad stuff. He's rich, but bad person. Bad rich.
Betting Muslims and then lying about it.
Yeah. So that goes to hell. The other one says, this one I really feel sorry for, is the poor bad person. Is the poor bad person. The poor bad person intends to do the same bad deed. So the same, oh my God, if I had this money, I would have thrown this party. Oh my God, if I have more money, then I will drink that wine. Oh my God, if I have more money, I will do like my rich brother. Got it? So they are both bad, but one is rich and one is poor. The rich actually spends his money in disobedience of Allah. The poor had the intention to do the same thing, but he didn't because he has no money. The Prophet used like this, again, my two fingers, and said, they are equally punished. This is why what happens in reality, Allah doesn't go by that at all. To this, to that, to Allah, this is nothing. What happens in reality, Allah doesn't judge by it at all. Allah judges by intentions. What's your motive? What's your intention? This is where there are three motives. How many motives? Three. To go to love Allah because you love Allah and you want Jannah and you're scared from hell. So how many motives? Three. Because number one, you love Allah. Number two, one, love Allah. Two, One, love Allah. Two, Jannah. I'm scared of Jahannam. So how many spiritual motivations we have? Three. Okay? Those, if your intention is set for these three motivations, then you're going to be good from the dwellers of Jannah, inshallah. Okay. In what situation the person is not judged for wrongdoing? If he's forced, right? Yes, if he's forced to do a wrong deed. But his intentions, his heart is against that. Okay? His heart is against that. He did not intend to do a bad deed, but he was forced into it. Who knows an example of that? Example of a person who was forced to do a bad deed, but his heart was against it. Yes.
He didn't have the intention to. His heart was clean, but he was forced to.
That's right. A man called Ammar ibn Yasir, he and his mother and his father were Muslims, early Muslims. So they were being tortured by the bad Arab lords, the evil Arab lords, and then Abu Jahl in particular. So his father and mother were killed under torture. They were killed under torture. And then they told him, curse Prophet Muhammad. Curse Prophet Muhammad and curse the religion of Muhammad. So he said, I curse Muhammad, I curse his religion. So they let him go. So he went crying to the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet asked him, how about your intentions? What was your intentions? What was in your heart? He said, I love Allah and I love Prophet Muhammad and I love his religion. He said, then, if they torture you to curse me again, do it. Do it. Don't worry. Just do it. Anytime they ask you, do it. And don't worry because you have the right intentions. Okay. There are something called similarity of hearts. Similarity of hearts. So, some people have similar hearts. Like I would say, the Pharaoh and Hitler both had the same heart, which is a heart of a devil, a heart of a Satan. Okay? So, people sometimes have same good hearts or same bad hearts. Okay? And Allah punishes the people who have bad heart, they will get the same punishment. Okay? I'll give you an example. Allah was blaming the Jews at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah was blaming the Jews at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah was blaming them for what? Allah was blaming them for the mistakes their ancestors did. Okay? Is it called ancestor or ancestors? Yes, the one who came before, right?
Ancestors.
Yeah. Okay? So Allah is blaming them. You need to take a picture. Okay. So Allah is blaming them. Allah is blaming them. The question is, how come Allah is blaming them, even though they didn't do the sins? How come Allah is blaming them? Because they had similar hearts. So the Jews that denied that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger, okay, at this time, at the time of the Prophet, had similar hearts to the one who gave Prophet Musa a hard time. Okay. You got this part? So why Allah is punishing the Jews at the time of Prophet Muhammad, or like Allah is condemning them for the mistakes that the Jews did at the time of Prophet Musa? Why Allah is blaming them? Because they had what? Similar hearts. The poor good person and the rich good person. Why Allah is rewarding them the same? Because they had similar hearts. Okay? So, whatever punishment a certain heart is getting, the other hearts are getting. So the only difference, the heart is an evil heart. But the only difference is what? What's the only difference? If the heart is an evil heart, so the difference is just the scenario, right? A scenario. This scenario is different than this scenario. But the heart here is like the heart there, yes.
Like, what about when you get, like, evil thoughts, but then you try to dismiss them, you don't get blamed for those, right?
At all. Actually, if you dismiss them, you get hasanat. You get good deeds. So, and we're going to talk about that. Let's take the example of... the example of someone who goes to the liquor store to buy liquor. Okay, so somebody who goes to the liquor store to buy intentions. So he intended to. So the guy who went to the liquor store and he found the store closed, he intended to drink wine. So he get the punishment of drinking wine. So how about if the person so found that the liquor store is open and bought the liquor and drank the liquor? Okay, does he get the same punishment? Why? Exactly. How about if someone changes his mind? Like somebody was walking toward the liquor store and then in the way he said, shame on you. Allah gives you all these blessings and you disobey him by drinking liquor? Shame on you. Then he makes a U-turn and goes back home. Does he get punished or rewarded?
Rewarded.
Why? His intention. How about the one who said no from the beginning? I am not going to get liquor. He's rewarded?
Yes.
Does his reward equal to the reward of the one that changed his mind on the way?
Yes.
Yes. Equal rewards. So the other one who stopped and he went back is equally rewarded with the one who didn't go start with. Right? Because they have similar hearts. Yeah?
Does that mean we're constantly getting hasanat because we're not doing stuff?
Yes. You're running by tests of submission. One after another. Tests. Continuously tested. Continuously in every minute of your life. Prayer time, being kind, everything. Like every minute of your life is a test. Okay? Now, let me now ask you this. Be careful. Watch. Concentrate with me. What if that person wanted to go to the liquor store, wanted to drink a liquor, but watch this. But he changed his mind because his doctor said it's not good for you. Does he get hasadat?
No.
Does he get sayyat?
No.
So why don't get hasanat? Because he changed his mind because of Allah?
No.
Because of who? The doctor. It's not good for him. So he had the wrong intention. But Allah is generous. Allah said, if he didn't do it, okay, because of whatever intentions, you know, he's even. no harm, no benefit, zero. Except in Mecca. Except where? In Mecca. If you change your mind in Mecca because of your health or because of the doctor recommendations, you get sayyat. You get sayyat. Even if you change your mind because of the doctor. Because of the what? Doctor. Got that part? So Mecca is one exception to the rule. Is one exception to the rule. Which is, you get punished in Mecca only. Why? Because Mecca is haram city. Mecca is haram city. What do you mean by haram city? We mean that it's a city where peaceful. Like it has to be peaceful. You have to feel secured when you are in Mecca. All right? Got this part right? Okay. How about the one? What is it? I forgot the other case. But anyway, I'll see you next week, inshallah.
Thank you.